Since the image of the skull is so universal, it was natural that when I thought of it as it stands in St. Jerome's study, where it is depicted with such grim realism by the artists of the Italian Renaissance, there should have come to my mind images of skulls and skeletons of every kind, from the skeletons that decorate Christian tombs to the garlands of skulls that hang round the necks of Buddhist tantric divinities, and from complex images, such as that of the medieval Dance of Death, Holbein's woodcuts of which I knew and admired as a boy, wherein death in the form of a skeleton dances with lord and with lady, with prince and with prelate, and even with the very Pope himself, indeed with all sorts and conditions of men, to simple images, just as those of the pairs of dancing skeletons depicted on Tibetan temple banners, and the pyramids of skulls heaped on battlefields by conquerors like Tamerlane, and at the feet of bloodthirsty gods by the priests of pre-Columbian Mexico. So many images of skulls and skeletons, in fact, came crowding into my mind from the different traditions and cultures of the world, that it is quite impossible for me to describe them all, even to enumerate more than a fraction of them. Instead, I shall describe just one image, and this can be taken as representing the rest. The image in question comes from the 14th century frescoes in the Campo Santo in Pisa, which I saw 2 months ago in the course of my journey to Il Convento. One of these frescoes, which is by an unknown master, depicts the triumph of death, who is represented as a kind of female devil with a scythe, which she directs against a group of young men and women sitting in a grove, while ignoring the pleas of those who regard death as a deliverer. More interesting still, in the bottom left-hand corner of the fresco, a party of fashionably dressed men and women on horseback, out for a ride in the forest, suddenly come upon 3 open coffins containing the bodies of 3 kings, one of whom has just died, one of whom is in an advanced state of decomposition, and one of whom is no more than a skeleton. Beside the coffin stands the figure of St. Macarius the Hermit, who, pointing to a long scroll, reads the party a lesson on the vanity of earthly existence. One cannot but be reminded, in the most forcible manner, of the well-known story of how the youthful Buddha-to-be, on driving out from his palace in his chariot, accompanied by his faithful charioteer, was successively confronted by an old man, a sick man, and a corpse, and, finally, by saintly ascetic. As if to underline the resemblance, above the figure of St. Macarius, other hermits are shown living among rocks and trees, in caves and cottages, occupying themselves with simple daily tasks, spiritual exercises, and religious discussion. The significance of the 4 sights seen by the Buddha to be, as of the corpses of the 3 kings and the figure of St. Macarius, is the same as that of the skull in St. Jerome's study. Confronted by the fact of inevitable death, man has no alternative but to devote himself wholeheartedly to the pursuit of his distinctively human activities in their purest forms.